Hey everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypeful.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch them all, right?
Hello, and welcome to PokeChat episode 40. This is our Elite Four playthrough of Pokemon X and Y. I do have Saman with me. We had some technical issues right as soon as we were about to start, but for the meantime, you get to hear my lovely voice as we go through and talk about everything that happens in the Elite Four. All right, so starting right off from what happens as soon as you beat Wolfric, you meet him and the guy that gives you tips outside of the gym. And the guy that gives you tips is the one that's always in front of each gym and tells you what types are going to have an advantage over that Pokemon gym. And both of those people tell you that you need to go to the Pokemon League. So it's time to jump into our Pokemon League right from then and on. There's not really like a good transition. There's of course there's always just like the Victory Road part of it, but honestly it's a pretty short Victory Road, as we mentioned before in PokeChat. All right, so on Route 21 leading to Victory Road, you have trainers here that are meant to prep you for Victory Road. They're pretty tough, and I noticed that a lot of them had third stage evolutions and Pokemon that can Mega Evolve. They didn't Mega Evolve, thank God. And it was overall a pretty rough route. It was short, but it definitely packed a punch, and there was a pretty interesting puzzle at the bottom. There was a puzzle that required you to have the HMs Surf, Cut, and Strength all together to get TM22 Solar Beam. And it was just basically like pushing the strength blocks into the holes that they needed to fit in, and then surfing to an area and cutting a tree to get Solar Beam. So it's a pretty good item, and I remember, as Devin was mentioning before, that it comes in handy to use Solar Beam when you have the move Drought. And he was using that with his Charizard, so I think it's pretty good if you can find out a way to get Sun without using Sunny Day with that ability. You can really just dominate with Solar Beam, because, you know, typically it takes two turns to go into it. And other than that, on that route, there is a river that leads to an Insect Plate, which ups the power of Insect items. All right, so now we have our Saman co-host on here. I act like you're like a robot. Our Saman co-host. All right, Saman. So we just got through Route 21, and I was just talking about the blocks that you had to put into place to get Solar Beam. Did you go through that puzzle on the bottom?
Nope. I'm not even sure I have a Pokemon that could use Solar Beam, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be surprised, because, you know, Devin's Charizard was really good about using Solar Beam, you know?
Yeah, I suppose, considering the type matchups I've been able to work with, maybe I shouldn't be so dismissive of that.
Definitely, and as long as your Pokemon has a strong special attack, you can teach it a move like Solar Beam or Thunderbolt, and you're going to do pretty well. And speaking of that, there is going to be a funny moment later on where we fight one of those Smeargle trainers, and they tried using Thunder against my Lapras, and I was kind of quivering for like a hot second, but then again I realized, oh my god, Smeargle has like Pika special attack, and it hit. I'm surprised Thunder actually hit, but even though it was super effective against my Lapras, it did like 10 damage, and we were like only 10 levels apart. It was so funny, it cracked me up. So that's just a good lesson that if your Pokemon doesn't have a good special, don't teach it special attacks, especially not of its same type, because it's just not going to do any damage. It cracks me up. Do you get annoyed by those Smeargle trainers? Because they're kind of pointless. Like, they're just painting the vistas, and they don't really do too much. They're just kind of, like, ambient, you know?
If I'm not in the mood for them, and I'm just, like, wanting to move on, any trainer annoys me.
Oh, geez, that's funny. Okay, so at Victory Road's front gate, the badge checker checks that you have all your badges and tells you that you must battle him before you can proceed. He doesn't have too significant of a team, so moving on from him, there is a cool cutscene where stairs will form a wall, almost like Diagon Alley in Harry Potter, and they come down into a staircase, and it's 3D-able, I guess you can call it. You can put on your 3D in this section so that you can see these badges that are lit up on signs going past your face. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think all of Victory Road allows you to have 3D on in the overworld, doesn't it?
See, again, I don't really notice where my slider is, like, for the whole game, so maybe. Diagonally was the first thing I thought of.
Oh, so you thought the same thing when it was Diagonally. The staircase opening up. So, then, Samad, do you think people playing Pokemon XY on a 2DS are missing out on any of the 3D features?
I'm hoping that if they get a 2DS, they're not looking for the 3D, so probably not.
Yeah, hopefully implicit that it's not going to be a 3D console, right?
I still can't believe that was an April Fool's prank.
Yeah, I know. But hey, they knew what they were doing in releasing that right when Pokemon XY came out, because with all the health concerns and bad press they got about, you know, children that are younger using 3D, ruining their eyesight, they had to, like, you know, take their flagship series other than Mario and make sure that they sold it really correctly, I suppose. So I'm happy for the career choice they made, for the business choice they made in selling XY simultaneously with the release date of 2DS.
Was there, like, an official, like, bundle pack or something?
I'm sure there was. I don't know. If anything, it was already downloaded on the 2DS or something like that. Yeah, that's the most I can remember off the top of my head. There's been a lot of Nintendo packs lately with the Wii U and stuff, like the Wind Waker packs and all that. And yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff that Nintendo's doing with releasing for their bigger games. They release like a new kind of console and stuff. Nintendo's always the best, I'd say, out of the three main console companies to do that. They always send out like really nice systems with their games, you know?
Yeah, Microsoft and Xbox are not going to be happy
Microsoft and Sony?
Yeah, Nintendo and Sony are pretty hot at the moment.
I don't know. I can't tell the console war's going because it's still too new. And Wii U tried to beat them to the punch like 2 years early, so that was strange. I don't know. It's going to be different to see how the release date, the releases of PS4 and Xbone, I'm going to call it Xbone, it's just so much easier, are going to affect the Wii U sales and Nintendo's future. We'll see, guys.
Xbone?
Xbox One, but you come out and take Xbone. It's just an easier way of saying Xbox One, because that's a lot of syllables. Xbox One, PS3, 4. PS4! It feels like the three syllables for Xbox One are so much more. And there's there's no way to abbreviate PS4 and other than that, so. Okay, so right after you go past the badge checker, you will start going through the Victory Road. There are trainers, like I said, on Route 21 with third stage Pokemon are ones that are just in the OU tier of the metagame, and they are very hard to beat. You'll find some evolutions in here, naturally, and they are pretty tough whenever you find yourself facing one of them. Overall, I was impressed with the Victory Road trainers, but I was very unimpressed by the length of it. It was basically three dungeons. It was like three short rooms, and there wasn't too much to do puzzle-wise. Although you did have to have the following three HMs. You had to have Surf. You had to have... Did you have to have Waterfall? I think that was just only to lead up to an item. No, I think Ariel misled me.
I think there's another way to get to it besides Waterfall, so not really.
Yeah, it's like the summit where that hiker is, and he's like, I'm on the summit, I'm almost there. We'll get to that in a second, though. We'll talk about that place. You do need Rock Smash. I think that's just for fun. No, you need it. You need Rock Smash, and you need Strength. So you need three, maybe four HMs to get through this Victory Road, but it was pretty short, so. Yeah, the first one you walk into, the first dungeon, is basically just a cave with like two or three levels, and you have to rock smash and set a couple strength boulders like together, and past that you're set. It's nothing too difficult, you know? And other than that, it's not too much of a difficult route if you are looking to avoid, you know, those Golbats and Golems. You'll still find Golems, at least. Or Gravelers, sorry, in the wild in this cave. But you're not going to find the proponency of as many wild Pokemon as you would in any other Victory Road. Did you find also, Simon, that there were like less wild Pokemon than you expected?
Yeah. Thankfully, in terms of getting through the Victory Road alive, that was good.
Yeah, totally.
and being prepared for someone else coming up at the end as well.
Definitely. Yeah, it's going to be exciting when we have that battle, because it was kind of fun. It was almost challenging. Almost. Okay, so yeah, as soon as you walk through the first dungeon, you'll find yourself in an outside area that has a large waterfall you can check out. This isn't one you can surf, it's just kind of to your right as you're walking past it. You'll walk through what looks like an area that has ruins, perhaps, and it's just supposed to make it look more epic, I'd say. And as you are afraid to battle what looks like it's going to be a ranger, it is a healer. Again, they did that to us, just like when they thought that Ace Trainer was coming by. Yeah, the ranger lady heals you right before a Serena battle. Serena does one of those, "Oh, hey, wait up, I'm waiting to battle with you," or the male antagonist does that, or rival, he's not really evil. So you have a battle with your rival right here, and she adds Altaria to her lineup, which was almost a Pokemon that was as challenging, but I gotta tell you the truth, my Lapras is just wiping the floor clean. Everything that it comes up against, it has some kind of super effect move for it, whether it's Thunderbolt, Ice Beam, or Surf, or if it's below health, I use Brine, and like, you know, I wipe teams clean. Even if they're like an electric type, I still find a way to like get through and surf them quick. It's like there's no contest. I just love its defense, its special attack, and I just think that Lapras is the way to go, guys. So, Samad, who were you using against this Serena battle? Did you have one Pokemon that wiped her floor, wiped the floor with her?
Pikachu!
You used Pikachu to get through this whole way. I'm impressed. How'd that go?
It was pretty good. Well, I mean, not for the entirety of Victory Road, but against Altaria, Pikachu was my man.
Definitely. okay, so as soon as you're done battling Serena, she gives you Max Revise, which was a very nice gift for her to give you. Those are very rare items, and they're very useful because obviously they heal you up from zero HP to your full HP, which is very handy in the middle of a big battle. I didn't use any, actually, because I didn't have a reason to, but... on top of the summit of one of the waterfalls that you come up on after, you will get TM02 Dragon Claw, a very powerful dragon-type move if you're looking to take down the upcoming inevitable dragons that we will find in the Elite Four. Saman, did you teach any of your Pokemon Dragon Claw?
Actually, no, because my Charizard already knew enough beastly moves, so I don't really need it.
Now, you have X, so you don't have the dragon version of Charizard's Mega Evolution, right?
Charizard X is Dragon
Fire. Oh, so why didn't you... So you definitely should have taught it a Dragon-type move, at least, so you could get that stab when you Mega Evolve it. I'm sure you're Mega Evolving it in battle, right?
Beastly enough.
Or do you Mega Evolve it in battle?
Yeah.
Sweet. Of course. And it's interesting, too, because like I was saying, I was looking forward to having more trainers Mega Evolve their Pokemon, and I think that they used it to great effect during the Elite Four battles, because there was one moment when it was used, and I was just like, alright, that was sly. I like that. I like the reasoning behind it. That was cool. I really liked that a lot. So we'll have that coming up real soon. I'm really excited to talk about that moment. Alright, so the last lineup of Elder Trainers as you're walking up to the Pokemon Center of Salvation is pretty intense. This lineup of elders are, I think they're called, you know, something else, like, I don't know, I don't remember. There's a more classy name that they're called, like, you know what I'm talking about, Simon? It's not like Victors, they're like, it's like the word that Pokemon uses for, like, elderly people that are, like, really strong.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
No, not veteran.
Veteran. Yeah, totally veteran.
Is that it?
Ah. Yeah, veteran. They're like veteran trainer, whatever, who wants to battle you, and they usually have a pretty high-level team of obscure Pokemon, and I think that the name of the game of any kind of ace trainer, veteran, Elite Four member is obscure. You want to have Pokemon that you haven't seen in the wilds, and you haven't seen in a gym battle or trainer battles at all. So that all of a sudden, you're going to see, you know, like the third stage of a Pokemon that you never would have thought to level up because it looks dinky in its first stage. And it's really interesting to see a lot of the Pokemon of XY come out of the woodwork, I guess you could say, in all of these battles. I was really excited as some of them came along, especially in the Elite Four battles. So, without further ado, let's jump right into the Elite Four battles. So you can go in any order as you want, as you could with the previous Gen 5 games, which was very much appreciated. I appreciate not having to have a set order, and that makes it really easy if you're looking to do one of those, I think they call it suicide runs, when you give your money all to your mom. You can't do that in this game, but when you used to be able to give your money to your mom and just keep on leveling up your Pokemon with like a certain gym leader, and you used to have to just do it on the first one that you were given, but now you can choose. If you have like a Pikachu you want to level up, go fight the Water Elite Four member and level up a lot in the Elite Four, and as long as you don't have money to lose, consult your mom, you know, what do you have to lose? So, yeah, and I'm kind of sad you can't give money to mom or anything else. Can you? I've never talked to her ever since like I left town, so.
I think Gen 5, you could choose which Elite Four member to fight. Yeah,
you could, but I'm just talking about giving money to mom. I don't think you can do that anymore.
My last run of Emerald, I'd just use all my money on items and then just keep finding them to level up.
You're funny. Keep him reviving to beat through the Elite Four, I guess. That's what I mean. That's a lot of my techniques sometimes too, to just like keep playing around with the revives and PP them out, the PP stall them out. You know, basically like keep on reviving and make sure that their super mega move is done. So I just switch between two Pokemon and keep them reviving. It's pretty cheap. Okay, so the first room that I chose was the fire type room, which has blazing fires reaching up to the sky. Malva has purple braids and is the Elite Four member for the fire type. She uses the following team: Pyroar, which is a female. Here, actually, let's go slow. Let's go through each. Pyroar was a female, and attempted to use a strong fire type move that I didn't recognize on my Lapras. I wish I wrote it down. Do you remember what move it was using, Saman? Because it was like its signature move, right?
Pyroar.
It wasn't like. Why do I want to say Outburst? That's already a move, but that's not a fire type move. No, it was it wasn't like Overheat. It was something that I didn't recognize of a fire type move. I think it was new for XY. It was pretty tough. It almost took down my Lapras. Well, when I say that, it took down like a third of itself. And then the next Pokemon that she uses is Torkoal, which is a oddly common Pokemon for those elders for the Elite Four and for another battle we're going to have coming up really soon too, a surprise battle. The next Pokemon she uses is Talonflame, which is the fire flying bird that everyone was really excited about because there hasn't really been a fire flying type since Charizard. And that thing was pretty rough. It had a high amount of defense, and it uses Brave Bird against you, which is a very epic-looking move. Wasn't that really cool when Brave Bird like swoops down from the sky and it turns golden and it like hits you and stuff?
They made beautiful use of the new graphics, man. The moves look awesome. All of them.
Totally, yeah. There's a couple that I really caught me and that I thought they were really great. Like, I think one of the Pokemon we're going to talk about uses the move Shadow Sneak, and it looked so epic when it like showed up behind my Lapras and like punched it or something, and Lapras was like, ah! Yeah, and then the next Pokemon that she uses and the last is Chandelure, which is that Ghost Fire type. It has a really cool cry. I think that's half the reason I like this thing so much. It didn't stand a chance against me. Maybe it used Shadow Sneak and that was what it did, but yeah, I was able to, I'm just going to say it now, like jump through almost every one of the Elite Four but the champion very easily. I didn't have too much of an issue.
Oh,
just,
yeah. You
know, using Lapras and everything. So, who was your main anti-card for this battle?
Semipola.
Yeah, I can see how a water type would help out. For once, I'm going to give you that Semipore would have actually done really well in this battle, and legitimately. I'm sure he still had some type. Were you surfing everything, or using Hydro Pump, or
think,
were you Scald?
Sort of. I use Surf and Hydro Pump, sort of switching them up. But all but one of them were like one hit KOs.
Seriously, right? Yeah, it was kind of silly. I was just like, okay, I'm definitely
going to
out EXP all on because this is a little bit too easy. Definitely. So you risk Hydro Pump. That's interesting. I never liked that accuracy, so I don't use it.
Well, yeah, like I said, I was going between Hydro Pump and Surf.
Definitely. Are you surprised by the proponency of Torkoal? Like, why is that thing being used so much all of a sudden? It's not like its stats are all that hot. You know, its defense especially. Maybe its special attack is pretty high, but that's pretty much it.
Well, I kind of like Torkoal. Again, in my last Emerald playthrough, I was using Torkoal as my lead fire type.
Oh, were you? What is he? What types? Is he just fire?
He's just fire.
That's why he's always dying. Never mind. No, I was thinking he was a dual type. For a second, I thought he was rock fire, and that was like, oh my god, he has no chance against water types. He's done. It's like when Gyarados is used, and I'm just like, lol, electric move.
Oh my god, they killed Torkoal!
Yeah, but Torkoal's just fire type, so never mind. Okay, anyways. That is all for the fire type Elite Four member. Nothing too special there. The water type one has a cascading... I don't know why I wrote that word if I can't pronounce it. Cascading... Waterfall that flows from the walls. Seibold is a man with blonde hair and a completely water-type team. He had some surprises in here, but he didn't have too many Pokemon. I was kind of surprised. So if I'm getting the count right, he only had 4? Did I miss that anything? I don't know. I feel like I did now because I was playing so late in the night, but it's really
Pokemon.
Strange. Yeah, well, I was an Elite Four member using 4. I can't remember the last time that's happened. And if it has, it was probably like laughable when it did, too, because I don't know. It's silly, you know? It's not like... they are even trying. Maybe they expected everyone to do water first or something. I don't know. That's just odd to me. So anyways, let's go with the team that he was using. Like I said, it was pretty surprising and pretty decently strengthed, I'd say. So Clawitzer is the first one that he was using, which is the evolved form of Clauncher. Clauncher was, if I remember correctly from our coverage way back when it was announced, a dark water type. And this guy was a large blue shrimp that definitely could take a hint. He took quite a lot of damage from my Lapras' Thunderbolts before he finally went down. And I have to check his typings because he was actually not taking damage from Thunderbolt like I wanted him to. I think he was resistant to it, so maybe he's like a dragon type now or something. I don't know what he is. It was strange. I was just confused. I was baffled. So I don't know what he evolved into, because like I said, I haven't seen it in the game yet, so how is it to know? This is one of those anti-cards that the Elite Four pulls on you, when all of a sudden they show up with a new Pokemon you've never seen, and you're supposed to gasp and not know how to take it down. Okay, so the next Pokemon that he uses is Marbuckle, which is this odd rock water guy who is, I guess like a barnacle, and he has like rocks attached to his like tentacly body, and he wasn't too hard to take down because of his... typing. His rock type was easy to surf down, so I was able to knock that guy out of the park. Gyarados is laughable with its 4 times weakness to electricity. Unless its speed's beating you and it's outraging you, it's done. Like, that thing's just not gonna last. And lastly, I was very happy by this. Starmie was used. Starmie is a very, very well-statted Pokemon. I've always honored its defense, because it always survived Thunderbolt back in Pokemon Yellow very well when Misty was using it. So it was a nice like throwback to that gym battle with Misty when I thought this thing came around. That was cool, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved it. It's good. It's good to see Pokemon like that again.
Yeah, Gem 1s when they're used well are great. It was awesome. It didn't survive. Don't get me wrong. Like it took like one time and it was done. But it's only because I'm too over leveled. Like I really sincerely need to play this again.
Oh, all right, yeah. So,
that's all for the 4 Pokemon that Seibold used. A bit unfortunate that he didn't use more Pokemon. That would have been more fun. I mean, water types are the most common type. I don't know why, they couldn't have thought of more to, like, shove in there. And, like I said, I wanted my Slowking. Why did he not have Slowking again? I know he used it for an Elite Four battle, or someone used it. I can't remember. Some large trainer used it. Was it an Elite Four battle? I don't remember. Well, I think so. I think our Psychic type leader was using a Slowking. That's probably why they didn't do it. But Slowking would have been a great choice. Yeah, or maybe even like a starter, like surprise us with like, I don't even know, like Marshall.
Yeah!
Why are starters never used in Elite Four battles, ever?
That just doesn't make sense.
They should be, because they're very strong, and that would have been awesome. Alright, so that's all for that guy. Oh, what'd you have to say, Simon?
I almost wish that the Elite Fours, they wouldn't use... like the main elementals so much, like give us some more obscure typings, because like with the right type matchup, you're always gonna whip ass on whip Pika on grass, water, and fire types.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to find. You're most likely going to have the moves that can combat those types very easily. So to have grass, water, and fire in the Elite Four wasn't too fun. I was just like, oh my god, that's so lazy. Like, they couldn't have pulled a Gen 2. Gen 2's Elite Four was just kick Pika with its... You know, it's it had a Dark Leader, it had a Ghost Leader, and I don't remember the rest, so I'm not going to make them up, but those two alone really surprised me, and I was just really excited by the prospect of, you know, potentially having, like, a Fairy-type Leader or something, but we didn't, and I was like, huh? Wait, that's like your new type. I just, what? Like, they have enough, maybe it's because they felt like they didn't have enough Fairy-types that were strong enough to be... in a battle like that. Because, like, what are they going to use? Gardevoir, Azumarill, Floette.
Hopefully that's something that we work on.
Yeah, the Floette that evolution. They could use that thing, and that's, like, all I can think of that would be strong enough to, like, face you. The Slurpuff and, the you know, that Cotton Candy and Pokemon and all that, they couldn't survive an Elite Four battle. They wouldn't be good. Unless they, like, super overleveled them, and that would just look strange. Yeah, that's kind of funny that there's no Fairy type Elite Four member. Maybe it's because we had as a gym leader, but I don't know if that's legitimate because... Well, here, Samam. Do we ever have a time when a gym leader and an Elite Four member will have the same type that they're focused on? I don't think so. Maybe that's why we couldn't have a Fairy type Elite Four member.
You mean the same... Well, yeah, because there's always Fire, Water, and Grass gyms.
Was there in this gen? I can't think of a Fire and Grass and Water gym. Unless I'm mistaking it. No, we definitely didn't. No, we had a grass. Because we had the Go-Go in that jungle level.
That's right. We didn't have fire. Oh, yeah. But in other games, like, as well, though.
So they can repeat. So it's different. So you see why I think it's... Maybe once again, they were like, well, we don't have that many fairy types. We've already pretty much used the strong ones in gym battle, so it'll feel too redundant if we just bring them back here. So they chose either gym battle or Elite Four for fairy types.
I think it's a little random. Like, it's just what they... The difficulty and Pokemon that they just decide to throw out there.
What are you talking about? The Elite Four, the difficulty there?
Yeah, like, the developers are just like, oh, we're feeling evil. We're going to make this really hard in one game, and we're going to make it too easy in another game.
Mm, yeah.
It's what they feel like going
with. I'm just glad they gave us an option for, like, a hard mode to turn off EXP all. I mean, of course, there's always the option of doing, like, a Nuzlocke or something to that effect to make it super hard. I'd be interested to see them actually implementing the Nuzlocke rules just as, like, a side game, you know, so make it so, like, you had to do it. Wouldn't that be fun if they made you play by Nuzlocke rules by turning on an option? I'd enjoy that. I think that I'd get really into that. Everyone would, too, because it's not a way you have to, like, try and keep the rules yourself. It just has them there for you.
Maybe easy, medium, hard, and expert modes.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's an obvious way to make them harder. Rather than just, like, leveling up everything too early, it's just, like, making your leveling up process take longer, basically. And it's like we played on easy mode with EXP all, and normal mode would have been without EXP all, and hard mode would be no EXP all and Nuzlocking.
So if it was an option, it would be, like, forced Nuzlocking, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and, well, I'm sure there's ROMs out there that have Nuzlocking inserted within them, you know what I mean? Like, I feel
bound
like there's going
to be...
So totally. I mean, it's the internet. If we think about it, it's already happened. That's one of the rules of the internet. It's true. Every time, I swear. And if it's not all the way put together, I'm sure they're working on it pretty hard. All right, so the next one that I chose to fight was the... Oh, sorry, you were asking a question. Go ahead.
Did you check out the What a Elite Four member of Chestnut, or...
No, I didn't use Chestnut once this whole entire run. Since, like, I didn't use it... Oh, God. I didn't use it on Route 21, on Victory Road, on Elite Four, on the Champion, on the Extra Battle. I didn't use it in anything. Lapras was just beasting it with Thunderbolt. It really was. Its special is just so awesome.
Interesting.
Special attack is too good to do that. Why do you ask?
I was just smashing through the water type with Chestnut's Wood Hammer move.
Oh, you bought... I can't remember you saying you had Chestnut as your starter.
Yeah.
Well, you could do that, but obviously Wood Hammer takes damage every time you use it, so that's why I wasn't using it, because I was like, oh, I'll be preservative and just use Thunderbolt. You swim for it.
Yeah.
Well, You probably survived because you were always hitting them first, and even though you're getting damage, you didn't have enough damage from those four Pokemon to kill yourself, so you could easily just heal yourself after the battle and be all set.
I think, I swear, I got, like, at least 2 one-hit KOs in all 4 of these Elite Four members.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Okay, so the next one that I chose was the Dragon type. Oh, wait, you know what? Before we go on, we were saying that there's a Grass type Elite Four member. I don't know why we were saying that. Maybe we just were going in sequence from Fire, Water, and Grass. There's not. It's Dragon and Steel at the next two. So we're going to retcon that part of PokeChat. That didn't happen. The Dragon type room has a giant movable dragon statue that unfolds to reveal the elderly and very smiley Drazna. She uses a team of 4 Pokemon once again. Rolling my eyes at that, but they're a pretty formidable team. I was impressed by this team, weren't you?
Reasonably.
I was, definitely. I thought that it was great, because she sets out, first off, Dragalege, which is that is Dark Water, or oh, maybe that was Poison, I can't remember. It was either Poison Dark or, like, Poison Water or something. But I remember it being a really good tight matchup, and that was pretty hard to take down. My Lapras didn't know what to do with it. I think that eventually I just surfed it, and it was fine. And then Dradigan, which is that really cool multicolored Pokemon that has, like, the basic colors of, like, you know, blue, yellow, and like a orangish, or like a pinky kind of red on its face. And that thing you could actually catch in the Elite Four, I mean, in the Victory Road, so if you wanted to, like, battle those two against each other, I guess you could have, but I just Ice Beamed it, and it was done. Without even the fight, like, didn't get a chance. Same thing with Altaria, nothing special there. And Noivern, which is, I think, a X exclusive, because I didn't see it in my playthrough, but I know that its pre-Evo is pretty common. I mean, probably equivalent to something of a Zubat or a Woobat. Did you encounter that Pokemon in your playthrough? You wouldn't have if we're on the same version. We both have Pokemon Y, right?
Pretty sure I have, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember seeing a Noivern yet. But I know that it's Leech Dragon. I'm going to guess its second typing is Flying. And then that's it. You are able to pound right through her. This sounds a lot dirtier than it needs to be. If you are using the Ice Beam TM that you might have found a little bit ago that we were just talking about, nothing too hard. Simon, who are you using to beat through Drazna?
Sylveon, moonbeaming all the things.
Seriously, yes. That's, I mean, come on, fairy types are meant to be the dragon slayers, so there you go. You're set. Okay, so the last Elite Four member before you fight the champion, that if you go the route that I did, I guess, is the steel type one. They have giant swords that look like they're going to be hone edges, really, that turn and glow green and bring you up in the elevator. You meet the Elite Four member, Wickstrom, who wears armor and talks like he's a knight, and he fights using, once again, wait, did they all use 4 Pokemon? Am I missing something?
No, yeah, actually.
They did.
They've all got 4 Pokemon.
Why did I imagine that one of them used 5, or at least 2 of them did? Oh, that's silly. That's strange. Oh, wow, I can't believe I didn't notice that pattern until right now. Well, that's odd. Well, the Pokemon he uses they're decent. Klefki was nothing. I mean, that thing just, like, has, like, laughable defenses. It's not going to survive any kind of fire-type move. It's just done. So, and I should just say right now that my Pyroar was just, you know, wiping the floor with everyone right here. Kropas, I was able to just surf away, and he was fine, because he's, I know he's rock-type. I don't know if he has a steel-type. I'm assuming he does, because he was in this battle, but I wasn't aware of it before. Were you aware of it having a steel-type? I thought it was just pure rock-type.
Nah, I figured it was.
You knew it was Rock Steel before this battle?
Yeah.
You, Mrs. Arceus, you're taking up Ariel's role. And the next that he uses is a very tough Pokemon. One of the toughest that we've seen out of all the Elite Four members, if not the toughest, which was Aegislash, which I am still not sure how this thing works, because it's the third stage evolution from the Hone Edge Pokemon, and I know that you have to do something special to evolve it, and it is a Steel Ghost type Pokemon. That is a great type matchup, a lot of resistances there, and its defenses are out of this world along with its attack stat. It is able to use its ability to change from like a defensive mode to an attack mode every other turn. I don't know if you have to activate that because I don't have one myself or if it does it automatically. Regardless, it goes from like a shield version of itself to like a sword version of itself. And it was pretty impressive. I used, I think it was the overheat move from my Pyro Roar twice to get it down. And it was still, you know, roaring and ripping and roaring, ready to go. So I was pretty impressed with Aegis Slash. Were you?
Reasonably, it lasted a bit longer than the others.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it struggled on for one last second, but I'm sure you were flamethrowing it or fire blasting it with your Charizard.
No, for the steel battle, my semi-coil came out to play again.
Who were you using? What move?
Surf.
Really? I think steel has a water resistance, doesn't it?
No, I was going to one-hit KOs.
Nice, I guess it doesn't have a loot. Well, cool, awesome. And yeah, then lastly, the, I guess, anti-card of this Pokemon, Elite Four member, which is a pretty decent one, is Caesar. Caesar will take a while to bring down. If you're not familiar with it from its Gen 2 introduction, you will be shocked at the strength, I think, of this bug, and it doesn't want to go down without a fight, but it did. So, sorry, I think Hey, wait, is it Steel Flying or is it Steel Bug? Because if it's Steel Bug, then that's laughable, because then it has a 4-time fire.
Steel Bug.
Oh, yikes. So, yeah, basically just use, like, Ember Runes down. Poor guy. Other than that, he's pretty decent. I still think he's, with his 4-time weakness, I still think he survived a flamethrower. Impressively. I'm pretty sure he did. And then he used, like, Bullet Punch on me or something. It was intense. This guy was still, like, holding up, so... That's some hefty defense if you're able to survive a 4-times stab attack, you know? Like, that's a crazy. Those type of Pokemon that can survive that, I hold high respect for, definitely. All right, so then that is all for the Elite Four members. After you defeated all of them, you will go back to this main sanctuary room, I like to call it, that you are, like, walking around in the water in. It looks like it's supposed to be representative of, like, a church or a chapel of some sort. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts. So then you are able to go in a teleporting thing, or maybe it was an elevator of some sort, that leads you up to the Elite Four champion. Here's the big surprise. I didn't spoil it, but I knew it from a while ago because I was spoiled. The Elite Four champion of this generation is movie star Diantha. We did see her around before, and I'm so happy that I picked out who the Elite Four champion was. Way back when I just saw character concept art for her. I don't think I'm that smart, though, because I feel like it was meant to be very epic-looking, her costume. Didn't you, Simon?
You feel like what was meant to be epic-looking?
Her costume.
Yeah, it was pretty decent. I'd like a little bit of a bigger twist than that, though, I gotta admit.
Yeah, I know. We were talking before this episode about how we wanted to have our professor be the, like, the Elite Four champion or something, and I think Iris is a pretty decent twist. That's the biggest twist I've been given so far. And Cynthia, she was pretty big, too. I like Cynthia's. But other than that, I haven't really never really been surprised. Sometimes they introduce them in the story, but it's getting to be a trope. Like, if you see a character that seems really mysterious and doesn't have a purpose other than to, like, drop it and give you, like, worldly advice... they're going to most likely be the Elite Four champion. Wouldn't you agree? Like, think back to, like, Gen 5. Gen 5, Part 1, I guess I should say. Remember how that fire... like, the guy with the big... I can't remember his name anymore. But the big flamey hair, right? Remember him?
Vaguely.
I guess he didn't leave an impression with you or I. All right. So, hey, let's get into the battle with Diantha, then... It starts off with her sending out her Hawlucha, which is a fighting flying type Pokemon with the first move that is dual types. It uses Flying Press, which is both fighting and flying at the same time. Yikes. That's going to do some damage if it catches you on a steel type or something to that effect. So, maybe it will, but I don't know, because here's the thing. Let's think of a type that is super effective if it's hit. It's super effective defensively from fighting, but not flying. There must be one out there. So I'm curious how that move reacts to that. Like, does it just balance out to be like a normal type move at that point? You know, it doesn't do super effective damage, it does normal type damage to it? It's strange. And what if you're like resistant to fighting? Like, what if you're a ghost type? Does this move still attack you? Like, that's a very Pandora's boxy kind of thing to have a dual type move, wouldn't you say?
Oh, dual types.
Well, just dual type moves. I mean, we haven't never seen this before, so this is a big thing for the series.
I reckon a fire type would be able to deal with it well enough, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't have any issues with it because I, once again, just, you know, I ice beamed it and it was done. So that was easy enough to get to kill off. But if this fighting flying type is quite formidable. And the next one that it sends that she sends out is Tyrantrum. No troubles there because it was able to fall on behalf, once again, of my ice beam. But that T-Rex Pokemon just looks cool. I think that's why she used it. Goodra comes out next, which was pretty predictable because we expected the only dragon type to be pure dragon type to be introduced in this generation to be used by the Elite Four champion, I'd say. Didn't you think that Goodra was coming along?
Goodra was what?
Coming along.
It makes sense, but my Sylveon was able to deal with it well enough.
Definitely. Okay, and then she uses a Pokemon that fits along with Tyrantrum very well, the Auroros, which is, I called it the Ice-type Littlefoot. This thing was pretty adorable. I like its call, too. Do you remember what it sounds like?
If it's cute, was it something like, ah!
Yeah, actually, you sound a lot like it when you said it right there. So we have Auroros, and then she brings out her penultimate Pokemon, which is Gorgeist. I'm going to pronounce it all ways, so I can't be wrong. Which is that pumpkin Pokemon that is Grass Ghost. Pretty good matchup once again. I was impressed by it, but I think I just used Flamethrower with my Pyroar. Who did you use to take down this Gorgeist?
This is the point where I was breaking out my Charizard X.
Oh, nice. Mega evolutions.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
And then we're on to her anti-card, and it's quite the anti-card. She evolves her Gardevoir. Oh my god, what a tank. That's the tankiest thing that we fought in XY. It is, no doubt. It is the mill tank of this generation. It is. And it's not using rollout, but still. And it's funny, it knows Thunderbolt just like my Gardevoir. And I was like, aw, she thought just like me. Alright, so deal with this thing is that you're most likely going to be having her use her full restores on this guy because you probably one-hit KO'd everything else. But at this point, it was just like, this thing is just so tanky. It's never going to die. It's keeping reviving and let it get rid of its Thunderbolts on my Lapras or whatever you have going on. And you do a new Moonblast, naturally. Is Moonblast a TM? Because I don't know if I had to like egg move that to my Gardevoir. I couldn't learn it when I was leveling up. Maybe I haven't gotten up to the level where it learns it yet, but I had to have, because I was above her Gardevoir. So, is it a TM that you can get anywhere? Or?
Nah, mine was just learnt naturally.
No, okay. And it was just using Moonblast and Thunderbolt against me. Maybe it knew Psychic too, I think. And, yeah, it's a very formidable Pokemon to defeat, and I appreciated the use of Mega Evolution sparingly and for very significant battles up until right here. It was very, very tough to beat down, but it didn't take too many times to, it didn't take too long to bring it down, and I only went through on one save file to do it, so I was pretty set just to take down her Mega Gardevoir and thus enter the Pokemon League Championship. Woo! We won! We beat her! So Diantha's like, wow, I'm impressed, blah, 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 you're so cool, you save your game, you put your Pokemon in the Hall of Fame, you have a cute little 3D cutscene. Then you go to the credits, and it has some pretty music. It looks like it's concept art of certain items, like Pokeflute and like the Prism Tower and all these other things. Just little sketches, just to entertain your brain, I guess. It doesn't match up to Gen 2's Dancing Pokemon. Those were great. Or Gen 3's Bike Ride Home. That was awesome. Loved that one so much. But right after this, you go into another cutscene, surprisingly. I like this post game cutscene. It's really fun. So maybe I got that order wrong. I think I don't even remember the credits were happening. There was honestly a big event that happened that kind of blurs my brain because it was just so awesome. So you're sitting around at the Star Wars like celebration, just like in that one. I don't know. Remember? Maybe it's The Empire Strikes Back or the Jedi Return or whatever. That there is that big celebration and Chewbacca's like, "Whoa!" And Tyrando was sitting in the same spot as Chewbacca. It was just funny. It's like they matched it up with the confetti and the crowd and everything to look just like that scene. I'm sure they did, because That's a pretty classic scene to mimic for like a celebration in the game scene. Yeah, totally, totally. So everyone's hanging around Prism Tower in Kalos, and they're really excited to see the saviors of Kalos, even though Tierno and Trevor did absolutely nothing, as you know. They basically were just like, oh, I mean, they did, like, save some Pokemon, I guess. They were like, we saved the souls of the Pokemon below Geosenge Town. I'm like, why? How did you do that?
They're like ROMs, but without the usefulness.
Yeah, definitely. And then you have a surprise battle with the large, tall man named AZ. He just basically says, hey, battle me. I've been waiting for this. And we're like, all right, here we go. We're battling. I thought we just beat the Elite Four champion. We just saw the credits and everything, so why are we battling you now? And he sends out a Torkoal again. Another Torkoal. And it was just like, what? That was silly. Surf. And then he sends out Sigilyph, and I'm like, ha, 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 Ice Beam. And then he sends out Float. Oh, no, Golurk. I just totally spoiled it. He sends out Golurk, and I was like, surf, 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 surf. So he was done. He had too many type disadvantages to my Kick Pika Lapras, so he was no contest compared to the champion. He was one-hit KOs from everyone. And
Ice
that was pretty...
Beam, Moonblast!
Seriously, yeah. You probably had no trouble taking it down, did you, Simon?
No. Definitely. Like, I was, it was so easy, I was, like, on a little bit of an autopilot, and then I'm like, oh, I beat them. Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, you're able to rip on through Oz, and after this battle, or AZ, sorry, his Floette descends from the skies, that shiny Floette, or special-looking Floette. The game closes out on Dat Fletchling, just like in the beginning of the game, that woke you up in the morning. And then it has the title screen of Finn show up and has pretty little music, and once you press A, it restarts to the main menu. So that is everything for the main game for Pokemon X and Y, but we still have some post-game stuff coming up. I know of a little bit of stuff that's going to happen with a certain Gen 5 mysterious character. Won't give away what's going on with that guy. No, I gave away his gender. But that's going to be pretty interesting, and I have a little bit of a break set up for PokeChat because it's going to be Thanksgiving time in the United States. So we're all going to take a little bit of a rest, but we will have an Origins recap because all of Origins will be out this upcoming Friday. So if you're looking to listen to our information on everything for Origins, on Monday the 25th, we will be releasing an episode for Origins. Look forward to that. And then our post-game starts on December 4th, Wednesday at 7 p.m., just like when you started watching this episode of PokeChat. All right, so we look forward to seeing you for our Origins recap. Other than that, if you are celebrating Thanksgiving and we don't talk to you on our Origins before Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving, guys. I think that Simon and I can both say that we feel very accomplished for getting all the way through the Elite Four, but we're not yet done. We still have a little bit more PokeChat's Pokemon X Y playthrough left. All right, Simon, anything else to say to our fair listeners about your playthrough?
It was good.
Definitely. And we'll give more final impressions on our post-game second episode. That's where we'll mostly dedicate that episode to that. So, yeah, we're really excited to share our final thoughts on Pokemon XY. And thank you for sticking through with us so long on this. It's really awesome to have you guys listening in and having fun and playing through and telling us all these fun things on an episode. All right, guys. So that is it for episode 40 of PokeChat. And we will see you on Monday with our Origins recap. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.